Isaiah the prophet in the Old Testament is an Advent writer. He looks forward to a new time and a new day. And in the second chapter, he invites us into this new time where the light will shine in us, through us, beyond us. And this is what he says. This is what Isaiah, son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as chief among the mountains. It will be raised above the hills, and all nations will stream to it. Many peoples will come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways so that we may walk in his paths. The law will go out from Zion, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He will judge between the nations and will settle disputes for many peoples. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war any more. Come, O house of Jacob, let us walk in the light of the Lord."
The second reading is Romans 13, 11 to 14. You know what sort of times we live in, and so you should live properly. It is time to wake up. You know that the day when you will be saved is nearer now than when we first put our faith in the Lord. Night is almost over, and day will soon appear. We must stop behaving as people in the dark and be ready to live in the light. So behave properly, as people do in the day. Don't go to wild parties or get drunk or be vulgar or indecent. Don't quarrel or be jealous. Let the Lord Jesus Christ be as near to you as the clothes you wear. Then you won't try to satisfy your selfish desires. This is the word of the Lord.
Let us walk in the light of the Lord. Let us pray. Oh God, you come as blessed light into every darkness of our lives and of the world. We welcome you this day to bring light into our lives and into our hearing and doing of your word and will. In Jesus' name, amen. What an invitation. Let us walk in the light of the Lord. Life does not get better than that. Whenever I hear this text from Isaiah, the second chapter, this well-known text, I can't help but thinking of that time when I was in a black church and they sang this text. And it goes like this: "Walk in the light." But then the women all give a double clap. So that just makes it so beautiful. And they don't clap like this, they give a clap. Can you give a double clap? Let me hear it. Okay. That's how they do it. So they sing, walk in the light, clap, clap. Beautiful lights, clap, clap. Come where the dewdrops of mercy shine bright. Shine all around us by day and by night. Jesus,
the light of the world. There is light for us, for the world.
This whole world is so mean sometimes, so difficult. But this whole world is not going to last. That's the thing. It's not going to make it when the big light comes, when God's fullness of light enters the world. See, the thing of it is, the light that we are hoping for, that we are expecting, the fullness of the light of God that we want to shine and change and make everything good and beautiful and wonderful, that light that's coming is already breaking in to the present. We get a taste of it. We get a portion of the fullness of the light that's going to come. And so this old world will not be able to survive that. This world of meanness and cruelty, of difficulty, of sadness, of anger, all of that stuff, all of that bad stuff will not be able to endure when the fullness of the light comes. This old world is going out of business. That's why we light the candle. We light the first candle today in the knowledge that life is not going to be the way it is now forever. God's light is going to keep coming and keep coming and keep filling the world until the fullness of God's light shines everywhere. So I say to you, don't get all of your hopes wrapped up in this world. Oh, yes, I know. A certain amount of that is necessary. There are bills to pay. There are things that need doing. There are responsibilities that need answering. There are things that we have to do in this world. But don't put all of your hopes here. For in time, all of the human trophies and everything, the bank accounts and the 401ks and everything like that is going to be no longer here. The fullness of God's light will come, and a new world is on its way. That's why we light the candles. That's why we have the trees full of light, a new world, a new life beyond anything that we could ever imagine. So beautiful and wonderful and full of blessing and goodness. And every tear will be wiped away. And all the pain of the world will be healed. And God's blessing and goodness will be all in all. This old world is going out of business. Now, in the book of Isaiah, the first 39 chapters, we get to see a parade of the world as it is. We don't really want to stay there. We really don't want to go there much. We'd rather have jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle bell rock, all that kind of stuff. In the church, we are called to this thing called Advent. Before we get to Christmas, we enter first into the darkness And that's a good thing. We enter into the judgment of God first, which is a good thing. We should never run from the judgment of God. We should always run right to the judgment of God, for it is always redemptive. The judgment of God for us is always blessing. It renews us. It helps us to put things back together that were broken. It mends the broken heart. The judgment of God is always for our good and for our blessing. But then in the first 39 chapters of Isaiah, we see the world as it is. We'd like to hurry up and get to Isaiah 40. Isaiah 40 is Christmas. We'd like to get there real fast if we could. Isaiah 40 begins with, "Comfort ye my people." The first words of the Handel's Messiah. That's Christmas. That's coming. But before we get there, we are asked to enter into a time struggle and darkness, to be connected with others who are in the dark, to be partners with those who are in the darkness, to welcome them and to go alongside of them, to journey with them. First 39 chapters of the book of Isaiah give us this parade of nations under the judgment of God. Nations of arrogance, of cruelty. They list them. There's Samaria, and there's Ethiopia, and there's Egypt, and there's Assyria. And all of these nations are paraded before us in 39 chapters of the book of Isaiah. And God brings judgment upon them. The people of Jerusalem were saying, "Oh, yes, yes, God, amen. Judge them." And then the judgment falls upon Jerusalem. For Jerusalem has also forgotten, has fallen into darkness. For God put his people into the world that they would be what? A light. Israel is meant to be a light. To where? To the world, to the nations. A light for the nations, so that the nations can look at Israel and say, that's what it means to live in the light of God. And Jerusalem and Judah fell under judgment. God put them in the world and said, take care of each other. Be a covenant community for each other. Remember the orphan. Remember the widow. Remember the hungry. Remember the refugee. Remember the most vulnerable among us. Remember them and reach out to them and bless them. And Judah became like everybody else. So the judgment of God is for us as well. For us to bring our lives as we are and say, God, I know this is not the way. Judge me, change me, take from me whatever is needed to be taken, and make me the person that I'm supposed to be, a bearer of light and goodness, grace and love. That's a hard prayer. God, take from me. God, take from me whatever it is
that keeps me being your fully faithful person of light in the world. It's been almost a quarter of a century now, more than a quarter of a century now, since Mother Teresa of Calcutta died. You probably are aware of the name. Of all the people I could mention or remember who was a carrier of the light, she comes to mind for me. As a young woman, she gave her life to God, and she was sent to India to be a teacher in a girls' school, a girls' school that was full of young women of advantage. And for several years, she did that, taught rich kids. And then she began to see the world around her in a new way. She began to see. She began to see the suffering on the streets of Calcutta. And from that vision, a new calling to be God's light bearer. So she walked out of the school and formed a new community, Missionaries of Charity. If you're a missionary of charity, this is what you own in the world. You would own one thin mattress. You would own one pair of sandals. You would own two change of clothes, the saris that they wore. You would own one pail so that you could wash yourself. Pail for water. And that was it. It's all you had in the world. And you then would join those who are hurting the most. They called them the running nuns because they would run, hasten to those who were completely forgotten, completely forgotten. Those who literally died on the streets of Calcutta, some of them maggot-infested bodies, or some who were near death and just needed to die. They were going to die, but they would die in comfort because the missionaries of charity would bring them in and give them blessing and love, and they would die in love. Mother Teresa said, "I'm not much." She wasn't. I saw her one time. I heard her speak. She about that tall. She smiled at me after the speech on the sidebar. I felt so blessed, this little woman. She said, I'm just a pencil in the hands of God. When I thought, a pencil in the hands of God, a little pencil in the hands of God can write great things. I think you could be that. A little pencil in the hands of God. What do you want to write? What do you want to say? What light do you want to share? I think you could do that. I know you could. Amen.
Let us pray.
O God, you have given us the gift of much light. Help us to receive it and let it grow and glow as we live our lives, offering our lives over and over again to your marvelous light. Amen.